views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is November the 7th, 2018. We have a live show for you today. Looking forward to bringing you that show. Excuse me, one second. Got to fix something real quick. There we go. So, missed yesterday's show. Sorry about that. Because generally, I could probably only do a show 4 days out of the week. Just because busy doing things. So, but I missed you all yesterday. But we have a live show for you today, the 7th of November, 2018. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. Today's show is going to be training at home with the family. Very, very important. We're going to cover some of that, talk about that. Let's talk about some of the things going on in the world. And really kind of focus on that, because that's what we all should be doing, training and preparing with the family at home and in other places as well. So we're going to jump into that. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number, and we will see you in queue when we'll bring you up. Okay, everyone, listen, we got to continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Please make monetary donations to the network by going to its website of www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. One second. Sorry about that. And once you're there, definitely scroll down to the donation prompt, hit the donation button, give some of your financial energy so that this network can stay on air. Very, very, very important, because without your support, it won't be here. Needs to be here going forward. As you already know, that it has been very beneficial to you all. So please make the donations there so that the network can continue to grow. You can also support the network by being a part of this social media platform. Known as BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform that was created for you so that you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected as you would be as in the other platforms such as Fedbook, where they actually sell your information and monetize your overall postings and everything else. And they get, you know, financial support from that, or financial means with that. And they don't share that, give it to you or anything else. It's really a form of you giving your energy and you're supplying for someone else, and they don't really care about you, and they monetize what you do. So come on over to BTR Community, where you can actually share information about yourself, your business, and things that you think that need to have more exposure, or what you like to do social media activity wise without being as adversely affected, within reason. Okay. Within reason. So definitely become a member, $24 a year. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, which you all should be doing at a breakneck speed, especially for how things are going to continue to go economically, you can do that at Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can exchange your cash for real money, okay? Definitely, you need to do that. All right, so we're going to get into what's in the news, and today is the November the 7th, 2018, and we're going to get moving here. There we go. Here we go. First article I posted from Wall Street Journal, very significant. Foxconn considers bringing Chinese workers to Wisconsin as U.S. labor market tightens. Facing one of the tightest labor markets in the U.S., Foxconn has been trying to cap Chinese engineers through internal transfers to supplement staffing of its for its planned Wisconsin plant, according to people familiar with the matter. Foxconn, you know anything about Foxconn, and this is why celebrity figure. This is what's going to be the overall. This is going to be the backbone of the U.S. labor form for the U.S. labor market and labor force. It is going to be under the Foxconn model, where they're not going to pay you anything and have and more. Well, they're not going to pay people anything, and they're going to take all of the energy from people. So this is what's here. More than groundbreaking, it basically tells of part of the overall dividing up of the former United States, or the after the U.S. loses this the war on all fronts, geopolitical, economically, and militarily, the overall receivership, and what's going to be actually the overall asset forfeiture and the repossession is going to happen. So that's one of the models that's there. Next article I got from Sputnik News. November surprise. Info on 62 million U.S. voters up for sale on a dark net. Check out that article. Next article from Asia Time. China's new aircraft to be displayed at the air show that's going to be sponsored by the People's Liberation Army, which is China's. Check out that article. Next article from Yahoo. Florida passes Amendment 4. Restoring Amendment 4. And it's restoring voting rights for convicted felons. Check out that article. Next article from Press TV. Erdogan says Turkey will not abide by U.S. sanctions on Iran. Check out that article. Then the next article. This is an article from... This is... TomsDispatch.com, and it says the Pentagon's plan to dominate the economy. So check out that one, really good one. We'll probably do something with this as well. Another article, very, very important one here, and watch how this flows and how it goes. Next article from RT International. Venezuela wants to repatriate gold from Britain to reduce reliance on U.S. dollar. The Venezuelan government is looking to repatriate around $550 million in gold bars from the Bank of England due to increasing concerns about the looming international sanctions. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. U.S. The Pentagon says the U.S. has no plans for Trump to come in contact. U.S. has no plans for troops to come in contact with the migrant caravan. And that was from Dumford. Check out that article. Next article from the Epoch Times. What will the next financial crisis look like? What will the next financial crisis look like? And that's one thing that I definitely want you all to prepare for, not only the next financial crisis, but the next war, the next world war. Those are the things that I think that we really should be giving real attention to and making means for. You will be happy that you have done that. Check out that article. Next article from The Guardian. Macron, this is the French president, calls for a real European army at the start of war. Centrum's tour. And this is we're going to take a look at some of this. What Macron said, he basically said that they need to have a European army that's going to be able to defend it from the U.S., Russia, and China. But it was really, it said, from Russia and China, but that was the overall real soft landing for what it was, what really is on the table. They need to protect themselves from the U.S. So check out that article, meaning that they're not going to be a U.S. ally at all. Check out that article. Next article from RT International. Dumping the dollar, Iran and South Korea agreed to cross-currency trade. Okay, so there's a so-called a U.S. ally that is actually trading outside of the U.S. currency with a sanctioned country that the U.S. is sanctioning, and this is South Korea, which I firmly believe that there is no such thing as South Korea. It's in namesake only, but it's really the Koreas now. So check out that article, pretty significant. It says South Korea and Iran have agreed to switch to national currencies in trade exchange as the sides aim to strengthen relationships despite the U.S. sanctions on Tehran. So now when they do that, that means that Iran can go into South Korea and buy things that they need, or even use the South Korean currency to get things other places around the world that they need. So check out that article, very significant. One second, have to fix something real quickly. So that's pretty relevant because this is the overall trend that's going on globally where other countries are using their own currencies. And what that really basically means is that not only are they using their own currency, but all the other countries that have agreements that use their own currency, they're going to be moving into using, a country will be doing that as well. So what I mean by that is, like, let's say now we have Iran and South Korea trading in their own currencies. Then India and Russia will be trading their own currencies. So what Iran will be able to do is, since there's a bilateral or agreement between those two countries to trade in their respective countries, now Iran could do business with India and China and with Russia and other countries that have bilateral currency trades. So what does that do? That actually means that you're able to buy and get everything that you would have been able to get with the U.S. dollar without having U.S. dollars in your under your overall control, or U.S. dollars controlling your economy, meaning you don't need the U.S. currency anymore. You can facilitate trade in so many different ways by bilateral trade between the countries. Very, very significant and relevant. Meaning that everyone here in the continental United States, or in the so-called United States, in the territories of the United States, are going to be adversely affected by that. You are going to lose pace to the rest of the world economically. And it's going to go to the people, not to the government, okay? They don't get adversely affected by any of this. It's the overall so-called true targets of it all is the citizenry. So check out that article. Next article we got from Sputnik News. Bank of England refuses Venezuela's request to return $550 million in gold. So we talked about it earlier that they were requesting it, and then now England is saying nope. So we'll check out what some of that means. And then next article from RT International, who's the boss? Swiss defies EU, caving in to U.S. pressures to cut off Iranian banks for now. So that's what's in the news. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And very, very important. So, but what I really want to do, let me get set here real quickly. I want to touch on a couple of things before we get into today's show. And at any time you'd like to get in, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Today's show is Training with Your Family. And definitely think that is more, that is really, really important. And we're going to cover that in a little bit, and it's going to be the mainstay of today's show. We're going to take a look at some of the things that you should be thinking about in training with your family to prepare for what's going to be happening. So we're going to do that. But before we do that, there's a couple of articles that I definitely want to give light to and their significance. And here they come. So the ones that I really wanted to give light to from out of what's in the news, let's take a look at this. It's a couple of them. First, let's take a look at Macron calls for European army real quick. Let's take a look at that one real quickly. And here's, I want you to just hear what Macron was saying and what it really means in reading between the lines. This is from The Guardian, okay? So here it is. Macron calls for real European army at the start of the Centurion tour. At the start of war Centurion tour. The French president said peace in Europe is as precarious as he embarks on a week-long tour. Macron has used the First World War Armistice Centurion commemoration to call for a real European army, warning that the rise of nationalism and populism threatens the fragile peace on the continent. We have to protect ourselves. This is what Macron said. Quote, we have to protect ourselves with respect to China, Russia, and even the United States, Macron said as he visited the sites of the Western Front battlefields in northern France on yesterday, Tuesday. Now, let's go over his quote. We have to protect ourselves with respect to China, Russia, and even the United States. I would say that he put China and Russia there just to keep them as the overall U.S. boogeyman, but the real emphasis was on even the United States of America. Let me read it all over for you because I didn't read it completely. Quote, we have to protect ourselves with respect to China, to Russia, and even the United States of America. Here's the overall signal and what to read between the lines. China, Russia is not the overall interest, because he didn't say the People's Republic of China or the Federation of Russia. He gave the full overall corporate entity of the United States of America, meaning that was the true intentions of what this overall, who we have to protect ourselves from. And it says that Macron was beginning a week-long memorial tour in eastern France, calling for villages and small towns that a century ago witnessed the bloodshed at war and are now struggling against deindustrialization and unemployment. And he said, quote, when I see President Trump announcing that he's quitting a major disarmament treaty, which was formed after the 1980s Euro missile crisis that hit Europe. Who is the main victim? Question. Europe and its security, he said in a radio interview to mark the 100 years since the end of the hostilities. Peace in Europe is, move this down, precarious. Peace in Europe is precarious. Now, here's what, very, very important. Notice the dude didn't call out Xi Jinping on Putin. He called out Trump. He says, when I see President Trump announcing that he's quitting a major disarmament treaty, which was formed after the 1980s Euro missile crisis that hit Europe, who was the main victim? Europe and its security. So basically, France is telling what France, Germany, Turkey, and other allies, even in my opinion, Britain, is going to be doing. And that is moving away from the U.S. and ultimately where the U.S. will be a military adversary, an enemy of France, along with the other nations. France won't do anything alone at all. So very, very significant and important. Check that out. Next article, some of the articles I wanted to highlight really quickly for the importance of it is, do that one last. We're going to go with Venezuela repatriating their gold. So here it is. Let me pull this one up. Venezuela wants to repatriate its gold from Britain to reduce reliance on U.S. dollar. So let me pull this one up really quickly. Come on up. Thank you. And this is from RT International. Here's the read. If I can get it to come down. Come on down, please. All right. So here it is. The Venezuelan government is looking to repatriate around $550 million in gold bars from the Bank of England due to increased concerns over looming U.S. sanctions. Caracas is planning to bring 14 tons of gold held in Britain back to Venezuela, according to unnamed public officials as quoted by Reuters. The UK regulators have reportedly sought to clarify what Venezuela plans to do with the gold. The plan on repatriating the gold bars kept in London has been reportedly discussed for nearly 2 months amidst increased difficulties in getting insurance for the shipment needed to move a large gold cargo. Let me stop there. Well, let me finish this part. They are still trying to find insurance cover because the costs are too high, the sources told the agency. Venezuela's foreign exchange holdings have significantly declined since the already imposed U.S. penalties banned the country's government from borrowing cash on international markets. A new round of anti-Venezuelan sanctions was introduced by the White House last week. They banned U.S. citizens from dealing with entities and people involved in gold sales in Venezuela, which the U.S. is calling corrupt and deceptive. How about that? The U.S. calling somebody corrupt and deceptive. The South American country is currently dealing with one of the worst economic crises in history, going through a fifth year recession and an annual inflation of more than 400,000%. The crisis has reportedly forced nearly a million citizens to flee to neighboring countries. Congress has also have been holding its gold reserves in foreign bank vaults, which is common practice for developing countries. In 2011, Venezuela's social leader Hugo Chavez repatriated 160 tons of gold from the U.S. and some European countries. And when they did that, that's when they invaded Libya, killed Gaddafi, stole Libya's gold and sent it to Venezuela after they've already gave Chavez a cancer to kill him. Since 2014, Venezuela was using its gold as collateral to get billions in loans from international lenders. As a result, the country's gold reserve has significantly depleted. According to the latest data of the country's central bank, gold holding has dropped to 160 tons in June from 364 tons in 2014. The swap agreement became difficult for Venezuela in 2017 after the U.S. banned U.S. financial institutions from financing operations there. So that's the article there. But listen, let me give you this right real quick, significant part. It says that in the very beginning, it says that according to unnamed public officials, quoted by Reuters, the U.S. regulators have reportedly sought to clarify what Venezuela plans to do with the gold. What business is it of yours? This is why you never let anybody hold your money. This is how they steal it from you. This is where you never take the overall money that you have and give it to someone so that they can hold it for you. And money is not cash. Absolutely not cash. Money is anything that has value, has energy, and is sustainable. So you have money. Don't give anyone your money so that they can hold it. Don't give anyone your energy, because what they're going to do is they're going to exploit you with it, and then ask when you want to use the energy. They're going to question, what do you want to use it for? Because I'm busy using it. I'm controlling it now. And that's basically what Britain is saying to Venezuela. Doesn't matter. It's not yours, it's theirs. But see, Venezuela made the mistake of giving it to them. So now it's just like when you go to a bank and you give them your cash, it ain't yours no more. It's theirs. This is why they ask you, what do you want to do with it? You're basically asking for permission to get it back. And when someone controls something, now they have leverage on you. You have to wait for them to decide if they're going to give you something that is supposed to be rightfully yours. That's not a position of advantage, ladies and gentlemen. That's a position of disadvantage that the whole economic system is built on doing in multiple schemes and frauds throughout its ubiquitous fraud paradigm. And it catches us all, it catches the general people all the time. And we uphold and defend it because we always say, yeah, but. Well, what about? What we going to do with this? Well, we've been doing this for so long. Because 9 times out of 10, if someone has something of value of yours, they're going to make you ignorant to what the value is so that you won't know. And know the relative leverage it gives. So now they're questioning Venezuela on what do you want the gold for? That tells you what? That the goal is what? Significantly important. And when you don't know what you have, you won't have it for long. You won't have it for long. So, let me, 1 second. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Yep, we do. Okay, so, listen, everyone, get ready to go to a commercial break. I forgot, we do a commercial break now? I think we do. All right, so we're going to, where do I do my commercial breaks? I do it at 11 and 11:30, I think, right? All right, yeah, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to keep going here. Okay, so let me see here real quickly. All right, so I know we need to do a commercial break. Let me do a commercial break really quickly for you all. Scotty's not on the board, but we'll just do a quick station break, and then we'll be right back. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Well, we didn't really do a commercial break. We did a station break. That's all right. So we're going to come back. Sorry about that, y'all. Wasn't really prepared for that. All right, so back. And at any time you got any questions about any of these things, definitely don't hesitate, give us a call. So the second part I wanted to pick up, and this is from Sputnik News. Bank of England refuses Venezuelan request for returning of $550 million in gold. Early in Caracas indicated that it was looking to repatriate some 14 tons of gold bars back from the UK out of concerns of that the bullion may be affected by harsh U.S. sanctions against the Latin American country. The Bank of England is refusing to release the gold bars worth about $550 million or £420 million back to Venezuela, with British officials understood to have referred to standard anti-money laundering measures, the Times reports, citing unnamed sources. There's a concern that Nicolas Maduro may seize the gold, which is owned by the state, and sell it for personal gain, the newspaper explained. See, they're going to give you all kinds of excuses because, see, they are using the overall Venezuelan state-owned gold for their purpose of personal gain. On Tuesday, On Tuesday, Two informed sources told Reuters that the Venezuelan government has been trying to move its gold from England, Bank of England vaults, back to Venezuela nearly 2 months ago, with the shipments thought to be held up over difficulties and to obtain insurance, which we read earlier. Washington imposed new sanctions against Venezuela last week, targeting the country's gold export, accusing Maduro of looting Venezuela's stocks of precious metals and amidst the country's economic crisis. The sanctions, which target U.S. individuals and countries, companies trading in Venezuela, gold, in Venezuela's gold, was announced by National Security John Bolton last week, also branding Caracas as a member of the Troika of Tyranny, along with Cuba and Nicaragua, which stands for Black Waters. The actual, what that word Nicaragua means, Nicaragua. Venezuela has made a concerted effort to become a major gold exporter and is engaging in certifying some 32 gold fields and building 54 processing plants in a bid to become what Maduro says would be the second largest gold reserve on earth. The Venezuelan government has also made efforts to reduce the dependency on the U.S.-led or controlled financial institutions and instruments, including the dollar, and commenting last month on to trading in euros, yuan, and other convertible currencies amidst U.S. restraints. In recent years, the Venezuelans have faced an acute economic crisis accompanied by hyperinflation, devaluing of its currency, and the goods shortages in shops, with the crisis caused by crippling U.S. restrictions, as well as mismanagement of the parts of the state-owned oil company. And let me stop there. See, this is what happens when you rely on currency and you have no money. You're bankrupt. It bankrupts you. Because what can happen is that with all forms of currency, it can be clawed back from you. It can be taken back from you. But when you have real money, when you have it under your control, you have what's known as a lordial title, meaning you possess it and all of its overall intrinsic values are under your control. See, this is the blind faith that most countries around the world had in the U.S. They thought that the U.S. was the beacon of freedom, and it was the country of moral high ground, and they had blind faith, and they gave all of their overall economic energy to the U.S., and look what the U.S. does to them. Same thing happens to every single person here. When you save in cash, you are going to actually be surrendering all of your economic energy to this system, and they're going to sanction you every day and confiscate from you every day, which they have been doing for over 100 years already. And it's called, they're going to be sanctioning you through inflation. Confiscation will come to you through inflation. You're losing pace. Because we have no real formal educational understanding between the difference between currency and money. We think that currency is money. And we think that, and we have no understanding of what money really is. And that puts us where someone else controls your economic wherewithal, your economic trajectory, where you're going. So, this is, and I want to say that this is going to be what's going to be happening throughout the world. More and more, more countries will be trying to repatriate their gold from different countries, and they're going to give up all kinds of reasons to say no. And this is what's going to happen. It's going to cause for a military confrontation. How do you think Venezuela is feeling right about now? When the overall economic crisis that's being perpetuated, because it won't comply, It refuses to do business with. It refuses to live by. It refuses to be subjugated and enslaved and oppressed by the U.S. economic hegemony. So there's a ramification from that. Well, the whole world is moving in that direction, and it's only so much that they're going to be able to do the U.S.-wise, and this is where they are going to be thoroughly and handily defeated. Because the stealing and the ubiquitous fraud that's involved in the bullying, in the bullying and the acts of violence and aggression to steal is going to be called. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, the ultimate burden lies within your economic standing here. And that is going to have great, great harm. Let me really reiterate something. Money is important. Currency isn't. Money, you can't live without money. It is one of the most important relationships you can have. It is the most important relationship you can have. And I say that because I understand what money is. Money is this. It sustains life. So is money everything? Absolutely. Is currency everything? Absolutely not. It's man's attempt to create an imitation economy of what's sustainable and real. Money is water. Money is air. Money is the earth. Money is the sun. Money is you. Money is I. Money is the universe, because it provides an intrinsic value that for sustainability, for maintaining the overall species development and continuation. Currency can't do that. Only money can. Only money can. No sun, no you, no me. No money, no you, no me. See, the sun's intrinsic value is money because of what it's capable of providing. Money is not actually it. But what it does is that it produces energy. Energy is money. That's what money really is. It's another word for energy. Energy and money go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. You can't separate them. You can't distinguish one without the other. So very, very important. And when we see these types of things happening, is giving a strong indication of what's going to be happening globally. So let me move on to another article before we get into today's. The whole next hour is going to be about today's show. There's an article, what will the next financial crisis look like? I would add to that. It would be, what would the next financial and war look like? And I will just give this, it will look like the end of the United States of America. It will be, the U.S. will become the untied states of America. Article says, what will the next financial crisis look like? And want to go to down to what are the immediate triggers for the next financial crisis. We should look at this in whole, but I want to just read this one part. Sovereign debt, the risk asset today is sovereign bonds at abnormal low yields, compressed by central banks' policies. With $6.5 trillion in negative yield bonds, the normal See, and the real loss in pension funds will likely be added to the losses in other asset classes. Incorrect perspectives of liquidity and the value at risk of high yield assets correlating in synchronized in an synchronized bubble spearheaded by sovereign debt have led investors to believe that there is always a massive amount of liquidity waiting to buy the dips to catch the next rally. And what is being said there? Well, let me just finish this. This is simply a myth that a massive liquidity is just leverage. And when margin calls, and losses start to appear in different areas, emerging markets, European equities, U.S. and tech stocks, the liquidity that most investors count on to continue to fuel the rally simply vanishes. Why? Because value at risk is also incorrectly calculated. Now, this is going to be the trigger, what they're saying the trigger of the next financial crisis is. And I will say they're absolutely right. What they're basically saying here is this, is that people always think that cash is money and that cash has real value and that no matter what, as long as there's still a lot of cash around, when you're given a lot of cash, you'll be able to go in and buy the overall plunge of the market because the market is going to go back up so that you'll be financially secure and your so-called made a profit. That is an absolute lie. There is no profitability inside of that. Profitability can only be determined and distinguished with value. And when the cash has no value, it doesn't matter how much the overall is being asked for the underlying asset. If the cash has no value, you're not going to get anything of value with it. Case in point, the houses that we have now, the cars that we have now, are they better made than 20, 30 years ago, 100 years ago? The overall products that we have, are the products that we have, are they better off? Are they better made than they were 40, 30 50 years ago, 60 years ago? The food that we have right now, is the overall price of food higher or lower than 20, 30, 40 years ago? The wages that's paid, do you get paid more and able to do more with the wages that you're that you're paid with, basically purchasing power? Do you have more purchasing power now than what your grandparents did and what your great-great-grandparents did? The answer to all of that is no, 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 and no. Because your overall great-great-grandparents and the overall, the purchasing power that was put into wages, it was enough where one person could work and one person can stay home in the family and take care of the family, that there was a family of multiple people in the family that were able to live off of one income. Now a family of five need four people working in order to make it. The value is here. This is the significance of what they were saying here. The cars that you have now, are they more sturdier, have better products? Is it a better product and more reliable product than the vehicles that were 40, 30 years ago, 50 years ago? Absolutely not. Here's how you could tell. Take your brand new car from 2018 or even the 2019 version of it, run into a car down in Cuba and see what happens to your little to the car that's 2018 2019. If the overall accident doesn't kill you, where the overall car in Cuba has run, you're under the wheels of it because it just crashed and crumbled your whole aluminum car, you'd be lucky. Here's why. Because your dollar, even your currency, your Federal Reserve note, even though you have more of them, they are not able to acquire the most they're not able to require the quality of the products anymore. They have to go to cheaper prices. It's usury. Cheaper alternatives. It's usury. Your currency has no purchasing power. So it's like this: when you can't afford something on the menu, when the menu has a plate, a $500 plate menu, then when you go down and you only have $2, they're going to say you need to go across across town to the other side of town, across the street, and you need to go to the dollar menu on McDonald's. And believe me, that is going to make you sick. It's because your overall dollar is not able to acquire what's on the menu. So the next financial crisis is going to catch all of these so-called investors with a dilemma, a value dilemma. And they've been using it so long, they think that massive liquidity, having a mass amount of cash, is the solution to it all. And that is not true. What is going to be killing, what is actually going to kill them, is that the overall mass liquidity that they have has no marginal value. And not only will it affect the overall, in that overall market space, that is the truth with every single person with U.S. currency and all the currencies of the world. There is a global currency crisis.
Hey, Dave.
It's not just a currency war between one or two countries. It's a global one. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
This might be a little off topic, but, you know, it's kind of related. And I was reading an article the other day about, I think it's Ford. Is the company, I don't think it's Chrysler or GM, but Ford is about to do some massive layoffs, man, saying that they lost over $1 billion due to these tariffs and what have you.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, what you
it
got
goes
me
right
to
along
think.
With this.
What's
yeah,
that,
it,
Dave?
Yeah, Scotty, this goes hand in hand.
Oh, okay. But I was thinking about what you were saying, too, about, you know, the cars back in the day, man. Like, I had a 1971 Monte Carlo. You would not want me running into you with that Monte Carlo. You know what I'm saying? And you're right, Dave.
No.
You're right. I don't know how much of them changing the materials to manufacture cars from steel to aluminum. I don't know what's behind that. Whether it's just greed, aluminum's a cheaper, you know, metal than real steel. Mm-hmm. But the prices have never gone down. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You still paying a considerable amount of money for an aluminum car as what you might have paid for a steel car. But here's what I was thinking about the other day. Remember when I reported to you that Australia had developed ammonia-powered cars and what have you. I'm still not seeing the Americans going in that direction or U.S.
Nope.
car manufacturers going in that direction. Again, that's right there, an unlimited resource for combustible engines, untapped source of energy.
Value.
And it's urine.
It's urine. Exactly. It brings value. Exactly.
And I'm just not seeing our manufacturing here. You know, when I say our, I'm just talking about the United States manufacturing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing that, man. And I don't know if we would ever see it. I just don't know. I know they behind in the technology.
Yeah. See, here's, and Scotty, they correlate with what we're saying now. They're right in step with each other. Here's why. See, the overall urine, what you're doing is that you're adding value to the overall cars, where the overall combustion engine of it can be made more effectively. But see, the system never wants anything to be effective. It wants it to be suppressive. Because now when you have more value, there's less dependency. Whenever you have value, you have less dependency on individuals. It gives you a sense of sovereignty, self-determination. Because now when you have value, when you have real money, there is no need that you have for a boss. When they put in cheap products and cheap cheap things they break all the time, that means that you're always dependent upon going back and spending even more. When Scotty talked about his Monte Carlo, the overall Monte Carlo, let's say it was $2,000 for that overall Monte Carlo. Today, that overall Monte Carlo would actually be somewhere around $45,000, $70,000 for it. Is it that the Monte Carlo is better made? Is more? No. What they do is they put in little gadgets and imageries that are cheap plastic and everything else. They don't work very long. They burn out. They can't take the overall heat. The overall engine itself is subpar to where it burns a lot of fuel. So burning a lot of fuel means that you're always requiring to go get more energy, meaning return to them. It's a return to sender policy.
Hey, Dave, I don't know who started making engine blocks out of aluminum, but they should be shot.
Scotty, you caught me off guard by that one. I'm with you. I'm totally with you. It's this whole economic system is a fraud. It's completely a fraud. And so when I talk about the food prices, remember this. A gallon of milk is still a gallon of milk. Milk has not changed in a very, very long time. They may add this or add that to it. It's still milk. Here's the difference. You need to give more cash to get that milk. That means your cash is losing purchasing power. This is why a family, one income was able to provide for a family of five, six, or seven decades and decades and decades ago. Yes, you're paid more paper, but you have far less wealth or far less purchasing power. How many people, let me tell you something, there's athletes. And I don't want to pick on any athletes. I'm not picking on anybody. But when people say they're getting paid more, no, what they're doing is they're getting paid inflated dollars that have lost purchasing power. So they get more of it, but they're not able to acquire any wealth with it. And it's killing us. It's really, really killing us in so many different ways. So I just wanted to add that part. We're going to do that on Financial Friday, more of it. But I wanted to add that before we go into today's show, because today's show is really important. We're going to talk about training with the family. I noticed, I think Pastor Keith wanted to chime in as well. Keith, did you want to chime in?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, and also along with Scotty, there's a saying that nothing works in a vacuum. So everything that you say is true, but there's also other things that you also have to consider. And it goes back to the greed of corporations. Because, you know, even way back in the day, I learned a term. It was called planned obsolescence. And what planned obsolescence is, they purposely design things so that you have to hurry up and turn around and buy new every so many years. And that's why every 3-4 years you need a new car. But on top of that, also what Scotty was saying is the fact that a lot of this stuff, a lot of this technology to advance the electric cars and all of that, that is shut down by the industry, the oil industry, because they don't want the competition. So a lot of that stuff, they do it at the detriment of society, at the country and everything else, to line their own pockets. So their thing is, they don't care less what happens to everybody else. We're going to shut down. And that's what all these monopolies are about. If you look at the technological advances that we have, or that we have the knowledge of, that are brushed under the rug and literally are not allowed to be used because they're shut down, because these people are trying to protect their profits and their monopolies to the detriment of everybody else.
Yeah, you know what? And Keith, we talked about that, yesterday somewhat. Remember the young lady that was fired by Apple for disclosing that, hey, as soon as there's a new phone or iPhone that's coming out, they're actually intentionally slowing down all the systems so people will have problems, and that will force them to want to get a new phone.
Exactly.
It's all a scam. It's all really a real scam. And so
hey, Dave,
this is how. Yeah, go ahead.
Before we go to break, I was reading that Apple is talking about abandoning the mass market for phones, for the iPhone, and that they're going to be high-end. In other words, that they're going to be looking to, just rely on people who can, quote-unquote, afford these phones. So I expect the price to go up because they're going to be, a luxury item and what have you.
Yep.
They're already real expensive. But anyway.
Extremely.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was interesting, man. And I can still see people because this is just, I don't know about other countries, but I know here we get addicted to brand names. We got to have this brand name because, I could just see a lot of people wasting their money trying to keep up with the Joneses for this iPhone status symbol that they say is about to cost even more.
You know what? We're going to go to a commercial. When we come back, I'm going to touch on that real quick because I didn't know that, Scotty. And I want to give my opinion on why that is. And it's very, very telling. So listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on a conversation or join us, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Just before we went to the commercial break, we're going to come back and then we're going to do training with the family at home is today's show. Training at home with the family. We're going to do that in this hour. Very, very important. We're going to spend this whole hour doing that. All right. So, but it was something that Scotty said that, and I didn't know this, that Apple was going to move into a high end, market. They're going to change their overall, economic demographics to only target the high-end, high disposable income individuals, basically, and they're going to make it their item more of a luxury item because they know that it's multifaceted there. They know by doing that that they still are going to be in the overall all of the economic demographics because they're going to try to create branding to where everybody will have status symbol, like Scotty said, to want to have that overall iPhone. And here's another thing with that that's concerning to me. Here's the thing, other thing that's concerning to me. Then we're going to go to Brother Davis. The other thing that's concerning to me with that is that's because they're building a Foxconn plant in Wisconsin, and they're going to build more Foxconns around throughout the United States. And what's going to happen is that they're going to need a new labor force, cheap labor force, to produce these high-end materials for the rest of the world. Because they're going to have the rest of the world paying for these high-end status symbol pieces of devices, and they're going to need a expanded, cheap labor workforce where they're going to have the overall work plantations are going to be more severe than the ones that are in China at Foxconn. They are going to be more severe here. That's my overall opinion about that overall company. They don't have their symbol is not a bitten apple for a just coincidentally. It's a subliminal method in reason behind that. And who the overall real controllers and creators of that overall platform, Apple platform. They tell you it's Steve Jobs, but it wasn't. It was really the Oppenheimer family, the same family that brought you the overall weaponizing of nuclear energy. So let me go to Brother Davis real quick. We got two callers. I want to keep them waiting. Brother Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. Always good to hear the voice of a friend. What say you?
Absolutely. Always good. Listen, this is called industry slicing. They look at the telephone industry as a pie. What they're doing is trying to take their slice out the pie and cater to their slice. That way they don't have to deal with the overall cost of those people who are not contingent on following that product, because that takes away from their bottom line. If they deal with those people who specialize in their product, then literally they're going after a specific demographic. It's a new level of sales. I just wanted to add that to you, brother.
Well said, Brother Davis. Yes, and you know, Brother Davis, as you already know, the telecom community or the telecom industries is really the overall communications is one of the overall strategically important and backbones of the military industrial complex. Comms. This is very, very strategic, and it is a part of, and I think what happens when we look at companies such as those, we think of them as private organizations, but we don't really look at their overall embeddedness in the overall industrial military complex, which is huge, huge, huge. So definitely, Brother Davis, as always, well said. We got another caller out of ATL. Welcome caller out of ATL. I think it's my man, Rob. I'm not quite sure. Caller out of ATL.
It is Rob.
What's your name? What up, Rob? How you doing? Sorry, bro. I was on air. That's why I couldn't answer. Go ahead, man.
I admit to that. I listen over anyway, but it's all good. I just kind of wanted to piggyback on what you was talking about. And I don't know if I'm late to the party about this, but apparently in 2019, there's going to be a new FICO score system, right?
Yep.
So apparently, you know, you have to have a checking account with certain bills on that account to have a certain credit score. So what does that tell me in foresight? You know, that's going to push the envelope for the bail-in. Some people don't use checking accounts or whatnot. So if you want your credit score at a certain point, at a certain number, but you have a checking account, you know, you have to have a checking account. So now, your currency is in that account, and it's pushing towards that time for a bail-in. Not a bail-out, but a bail-in.
Yep.
And I think that was the setup for that. That's going to be the setup for that. I mean, that's just my opinion. I've been doing the research the past couple of days on that, and I wasn't aware of it, and I just wanted to bring it to the BTR community.
And, you know, Rob, I had saw that and I wanted to do something with that. So, we'll definitely – let's do it together as well, because that is very significant. The overall ability to get credit is going to change drastically. And here's the number one change that's going to go with it. It's not going to be your overall ability to pay or your payment history. It's going to be what collateral do you have going forward. So very, very important. And it's another way, as Rob said, and I agree with him 100, it's another way to get as many people into the banking industry so that they can bail you in. And bail you in basically means is that they can take from you, because whenever you deposit cash into the bank now, Glass-Steagall is not the overall prevailing banking policy. Glass-Steagall has been taken away. Glass-Steagall separated. Glass-Steagall separated banking from investment banking. Now everything is investment banking. What is it about investment? All principal can be lost. The market is subject to market risk, meaning all of your principal can be lost. So whenever you go to the bank, you hand them your cash. You're handing it into an investment bank. You're asking them to invest it for you, because once you give it to them, it's no longer yours. And guess what? They never have to give it back to you, because they're not acting as a banking institution absent from commingling with investment. And that means that you're a bondholder, and your level of bondholding is way low, way, way, way low. They never, ever, ever have to give you back once you give it to them, because you're asking them by the terms, read the overall contract is right there. It's all there. So it's no longer You're involving in investment, not in banking. We got another caller that's in queue. Welcome, caller, out of area code 734. What say you?
How you doing, brother Dave?
Brother Arkeef, what's up, brother?
Doing well, man. Doing well.
Good to hear your voice.
Good, man. Thanks. I like the new time, too, man, because it works perfectly for my schedule.
Yes.
Well, I kind of want to intervene also what Rob was talking about with the bank. I read that the other day too, where it talked about how, how they talked about how they can help your credit score as far as having a, through the banking system now. And having a business, the banks won't tell you, but they have a rating system for your checking and savings account as a business owner also, where they have a bank system if you keep so much money over like 10,000, it's a 5, and then down to a 4, and down to a 3. So it breaks down how much money you have, how much you, in order to get this score, how much money you need to have in order to get, certain the 5. It's the top of the line is 5. But other than that, it doesn't sound too clear to me, because I know a lot of people want to get their credit score up, but the worst thing you can do is dealing with that bank, because you no longer have access to that money like you did before you handed it to them.
Yeah, so true, and it's something that we definitely going to talk about because it's all a scam. It's all a scam. It's all a scam, and it's a setup. But great calls, brother Arkeef, Robert, and brother Davis. Greatly appreciate. We're going to move into today's show, but we're going to catch up on that again because it's really, really significant and relevant, and it's important that we actually know what's going on so we can make our own decisions. All right, so I want to get into today's show. And at any time, give us a call. Training at home with the family. Very, very important. And I want to say to you all, having a safe haven for you and your family, regardless of the size, is critical in today's world now. Even if it's just you by yourself, having a safe haven for you is very, very important. So what we want to do is we want to talk about being prepared for some unforeseen events to happen, which they will happen. And I'm going to tell you why this is so important. Because when you're not aware, when things go awry and you're not prepared for them, that's going to heighten your overall fear. And it's going to heighten your overall desperate. You're going to fall into desperatism. And you're going to be extremely desperate. And it makes it very easy for you to go from civilized to feral. Okay? But if you prepare, you don't have to worry about that as much. And it's very, very important. And what I don't want is for us to be caught off guard by things. Because when things catch us off guard, we're never, ever, ever able to get back out up. It's really a knockout punch, okay? I want to prevent the disaster knockout punch of you and your family. So it's very important that you start training with your family, regardless of the size. Even if it's just you and you got if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend or a cousin or family member, whatever it is whoever you consider you and your family, you should have a plan for you all to deal with the different crises that will come up, okay? And we already know that there's so many in today's world that it's just a matter of time before a very significant one changes the overall scope and balance or the overall degree of things here and globally. We know that some events in the future are going to be much more sophisticated and elaborate and deep penetrating than the ones of the past. You know, it's going to make 9/11 look just like it was just a two-alarm fire for a couple of buildings, because the overall scope and depth and dynamics of these events are going to be they're going to cross-pollinate into everyone, and it adversely affects so many people. And when it does, when it affects the masses, it's going to be magnified by the density of where people live And what I mean by the density is not just within miles and in that radius. No, I'm talking about a country's density, because these events are going to penetrate the rural areas and the city areas, but they're going to penetrate them at different degrees. But still, the overall reason for preparing and the need and the call for preparing is really, really sounding. So I want you to think about, you know, are you really prepared to withstand a crisis that will require you to be away from your regular routine for a couple of days, weeks, months? Could you do it? And I think that preparing for that is a process, and it doesn't matter what your overall economic standing is, every single person still can do it, because it leads us to the truth of where the overall so-called the so-called United States Corporation of the United States of America. The U.S. government is not preparing its citizenry for anything. It's, well, I won't say that. They are preparing the U.S. citizenry very much so, and they're doing a great job at preparing the U.S. citizen. They're preparing the U.S. citizens to fail and be dependent upon them. That's what they're really preparing. That's what they're really preparing everyone here for. They're preparing everyone to fail, and to where the overall events will cause them to do things that they otherwise would not do if they were prepared, sovereign and self-determined. Okay, so we want to take a look at that. So you really have to take an inventory of how prepared you are. And I want to give a couple of scenarios on how prepared you are. This is the mindset of how prepared you are. Are you prepared to withstand a major U.S. crisis for a few hours? What I mean by a few hours, 4 to 8 hours. Are you able to? And then that starts, you got that checked off. Yes, I could do that. Can you withstand for a few days? A few days meaning 3 days. Okay, you could do that. Are you able to withstand a few weeks or a week? That means up to two to three weeks. Uh-oh. Okay. Now, are you able to withstand for a couple of months? And a couple of months is 6 months. Then are you able to withstand for a year? Now, I say that because the process goes this way. When you're prepared for 3 days, in today's world here in the United States, see, in other countries, if you're prepared for 3 days, that means that you are behind everyone. Here in the United States is different. If you're prepared for a few days, that means that you're prepared for a week. Reason being is because no one else is. It's a different dynamic. So there are some advantages to being here in the United States. By not being naive, not being unaware, and not being prepared. When you're prepared here in the United States, you have even more leverage than in the other countries where everyone else is prepared. It's a crazy dynamic how that works. It really, really is. So here in the United States, if you're prepared on a broad scale for a few hours, that means here in the United States that you're prepared for a few days. If you're prepared for a few days, you're prepared for a few weeks. If you're prepared for a few weeks, that you're prepared for a few months. If you're prepared for a few months, that you're prepared for a year. It's just the opposite in different places in the world. In Russia, if you're prepared for a few days, that means that you're only prepared for a couple of hours. If you're prepared for a few weeks, you're only prepared for few days. Because in Russia and other countries, everybody else is prepared just as well. Just as well. So it's a different dynamic. So, but you're here, we're here. And so I want you to take that overall litmus test. Am I prepared for a few hours. Check that off. Let you know where you are. Now you go all the way through to a year. Now find where you are in that cycle. And in that cycle, I would say make a be dedicated to increasing it by twofold. If you're prepared for a few hours, we need you to get prepared for a few weeks. If you're prepared for a few days, you have to be prepared for a few months. If you prepare for a few months, then you need to be prepared for a year. So you want to increase your overall preparedness by twofold. Okay? Now, in this preparedness, what are we talking about? We're talking about where you have a breakdown of normalcy, where you're not able to acquire, where it's dangerous for you to be out in the public arena trying to get the things that you need, some of the basic things that you need. In doing that, there's a heightened danger that could happen to you. Okay? You're putting yourself at greater risk of bodily harm, injury, or death. You're putting yourself and your family at risk of those same dynamics. That's what we're preparing for. And it doesn't matter what the overall situation is, it's just the overall condition that's a threat to you. So one of the first things that we got to do is, now that we've done that, now we need to immediately invoke a plan with our family. Doesn't matter of how many people it is in your overall family. Give everyone a job, give everyone an understanding, give everyone a responsibility that will prepare them. And it's really good with children because it causes them and actually invokes, and children really do like this. They want to, children understand that they want to be prepared. It's funny how they gravitate to that really well. And we think, oh, because they want to have fun or everything. No, it's because they are much intuitively wiser than we are, because they haven't compromised all of their decision making to the facade to the falsehood and deceptions. They stay more true. The children could tell you, look at your refrigerator, look at your cupboards, look at your pantry, and say, you know what, we ain't gonna make it like this. And then as adults, we'll say, oh, yes, we will. I'll just go here. I'll just go there. See, the children are looking at where you are right now in comparison to what can threaten you right now. And it's amazing how they're able to do that. And that's because of children are more sincere and honest. The lies and the deception has not penetrated them as deeply as adults. So let's go on. So you want to immediately establish a plan for the family. When you start the plan, it avoids you being scared. It avoids people not knowing what to do. It avoids confusion. It avoids making mistakes. It avoids it limits and cuts down on accidents. It limits just exposure. It limits your full exposure. When you start the plan, you start to have confidence in the plan, and more importantly, in the people that you're planning with. And then you start to see something more about different people. You start to see a value in them that you otherwise didn't see before, maybe, or you didn't cherish before. I don't know how many times here on Tando Radio Show there's been one family member that was about preparing, and then they were faced with the challenge of someone else in their family that they loved that wasn't on that prepper, and they were like, oh, that's just conspiracy theory. Where are you hearing this stuff from? Why are you listening to that crap? You don't need to, everything is fine. And then as soon as the light goes out, they immediately go, oh, shoot, you were right, and I'm glad that you did it. And they look at that individual from a different standpoint. They see that individual actually does care for them and love them beyond their overall abusive nature that they put them through in doing it. Because that's what fear does. Fear causes you to destroy relationships. It doesn't build a darn thing. Very important. So involve everyone in the family. Okay? Because when you do this, you establish a plan, and what are you going to do? You're going to strengthen the overall family unit and family bond, because what you're going to be doing is you're going to be taking your family out of harm's way, and you're going to be relying on each other even more. That is going to give you strong family bonds even more. Very important. So, in training and preparing with the family, involve everyone, no matter what their age is. If you have a child that is able to follow instructions, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 4-year-old, give that overall child a job. Give them a responsibility. Of course, you're going to supervise it, but believe me, if you and everyone is acting out what they're supposed to do, you're teaching your children something very valuable. Accountability. You're teaching them drive, productivity. That overall child, give that child a job. When you give your children jobs, you'll find out something. They're not as lazy as the system has actually dragged them to be. All right, so now let's move into some of the things that you want to do. And one more time, let me really emphasize the reason why you're doing this is so that when these events happen here in the States, you and your family can be out of harm's way. You can be in your place of shelter. You can be in your overall, in your exclusionary zone. And the thing about it is that you have to build on that now. Because if you don't build on that now, what's going to happen is that you're going to be out into the killing fields. The killing fields is trying to acquire what we should have acquired when no one else was looking. We want to stay out of the killing field. Definitely want to do that. Okay, so now we want to, and it doesn't matter what the event is, all of them, you know, and it doesn't matter where you are. You can be in the furthest parts in the overall country that gives you a different level of our nomenclature, our path, our directive to preparing than you are in the city. Okay, and they all have their plus and their minuses. But it does, in today's world, it really doesn't matter. Depending on what the event is, you're still going to need to be able to prepare. Because it doesn't matter, in today's world, it's really a cyberspace. One thing is in the overall heavy dependency on technology and smartphones and smart devices and digital devices outside of the analog is highly dependent upon on everyone. And if that is not available to you, it doesn't matter if you're in the city or in the country. It just changed your life. Because we've changed our overall lives away from analog, and we all are now in the digital space per se, most people. So you could be out in the country, but you could be digitally paid for everything that you do, and that's your standard of living that provides for your quality of life. Boop, it goes out, it goes down, it's shut down, DNS, and it's purposely being suppressed or turned off. Now you got a quality of life standard of living problem. In the overall local bank, you say, well, I don't, you know, bank near, you know, the major cities, but it doesn't matter. All of the banks are on one big charter. When they go down, your small bank of where you are, it's going to be down too. So are all of the the overall businesses is trying to make that electronic payment. So sometimes the country can be just as densely impacted as the cities, because it doesn't matter if there's only so much items that they can sell to the general population. If there's more people than there are items, somebody's going to get it and somebody's not. There's going to be ones that have and ones that don't. And the isolation of the country actually brings about a different problem as well. The access to some goods is going to be more difficult. That's why you have to take proactively while you still can. Before, you need it. Because once you need it, you're not going to be able to acquire it. It will be just as far away and more and as difficult for you to get as if someone was in the cities dealing with a mob. End result, you don't have it, nor do they. So, listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back out of it, we'll pick this back up. Scotty, give me 1 minute more in this commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We're talking about training with the family at home. All right, so let's pick this up. So we're going to talk more directly about some of the things that that I would suggest. I'm never going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to tell you to establish a plan based off what you know, because the dynamics for each and every person is different, family members, location, geographical placement, everything is a part of it all. All right, so here's what we want to do. So we want to have a plan for our families. We want to have a plan for at home, en route to home, and away from home. Okay? The plan that you need to have and train with your family is an at-home training. This is what everybody's going to do while you're at home. This is this individual's job. This is what we're going to do. This is the process that we're going to take. This is the step-by-step operational procedures that we're going to do. Then there needs to be at home, en route to home, en route to home, and away from home. So first you want to look at being away from home. Okay, and for a family or just you as a family, different people, you and other people in the family, will be probably at different places or possibly could be at different places when something happens. You need to establish a practice for away from home to get home or to get to a designated spot. And what everyone's individual job is during that time. From coordination to accumulation. Because if you notice, if you can trigger, well, I forgot to add this. Recognition of a crisis is the most important thing. Recognition of something going awry is the most important thing. You should be able to have some point, some ability, some foresight in reading of the signs to determine something before it goes wrong. You don't always need a mushroom cloud up in the sky to say, uh-oh, it's over, or uh-oh, we're in trouble, uh-oh, this is going to be bad, uh-oh, here something comes. You should be able to have some foresight in distinguishing that, hey, this could lead to here. Very, 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 very important. Very, very important. And what I mean by that, in reading of the signs, one of the most important things is reading of the signs. Let's say you were is in the middle of the day, everyone is at school, everyone is at work or here or there. It's a weekday, okay? And all of a sudden you hear that there was a U.S. naval vessel that was sunk in the Strait of Hormuz or sunk in the Mediterranean or sunk in the Black Sea. Instead of running to the TV to find out what has happened, the first thing you should do is you recognize that this is going to lead to something pretty major, or it already or is the start of it. So now you should enact where you're going home right now and everybody has their overall plan. This may be the opportunity for you to get in front of the mad herding rush of other people. Case in point, you have some children at school and it's time to go get your child. If you get there before all the other parents because they're busy watching what was on the news, staring at the tube, you're already enacting right away. And you go and get your child. And then lo and behold, after you grab your child, there's other major events that start to cascade, and then all of a sudden there's a major cyber attack and boom. By you acting and reading the signs, is critical. And it's just like you're somewhere and you hear the first shot. You don't all of a sudden go, where did that come from? Looking around and everything else. You already identified that it came from over here. Now you're trying to get away from it right away. You don't need to see what it is for you to know to check it out from a position of advantage, from safety, instead of staring while you're still in the kill zone. So identifying something, being able to read the signs is critical. Okay? Very, very important. So that will actually be your initial steps that you would take. And that is going to be very important. So also you could be at work or somewhere else and you know that, okay, in this initial steps, this was bad. I'm on my way home with everybody else. I coordinated with everybody else. We've done the training, and we know the wife is going to pick up this. The husband is going to pick up this. This older child is going to pick up this. This child is going to meet us here. So, like, your husband may stop at, if he can, stop at the gas station, fill up on the one car, fill up the overall 5-gallon jug of gas, and just have. I'm not saying all of these things you should be thinking about, but everyone should have a job, especially while everybody else is watching the TV. And then you'll start to hear, oh man, this is not going to be good. You know what this means? While people are murmuring and gossiping, you hear them, but you don't listen. You hear them, but you don't listen. What do you listen to? You listen to your overall plan that you've already committed to. And now you're continually to put distance between you and everyone else to get to safety. So very, very important. Everyone has their jobs, if that's what it is, depending on what the situation is. It may actually be a situation where it's the worst case scenario, where all of a sudden, boom, there's a major, major CME attack. I mean, CME attack or cyber attack that takes out the grid in a certain city. And right away, you recognize that the lights were out and different things, and you realize that where you work is subterranean parking, and that the overall gate is electronic, and it was a CME, and it took out, hopefully it didn't take it out, because hopefully, because it's in subterranean parking, the overall mechanisms would still be working. But if not, you got to have a plan for it. That means that you have to have something in your car that you can walk home with. Okay? Very, very important that you start to train on these different things. Your overall environment is very, very important to this whole thing. Also, it could be a CME where you have a vehicle that is modernized and it's outside in the elements, and then you go to start the car and is dead. But back at home, you got an old car from the 80s, 1980s, a carburetor. Somebody should know right away that that overall car is the only one that's going to work, and it needs to go start to pick up the people that it needs to pick up immediately, and have a priority list of who's to pick up first and where, and have a overall setup from there. The overall plan is to get home or to get to your overall sanctuary. How are you going to do that? Under what circumstances? The more circumstances you put into it, the more input you can get from everyone else, the more prepared that you will be, the less fear that you will succumb to. So identification, reading the signs is critical. Then you have to have also a procedures of getting home. Now, nothing is hard and fast. Everything can be changed on the fly. And because you've trained with it, changes now don't affect you everything. You don't have to be just completely 100% committed to what you thought things, how things would be, because the variables we can never account for. They're always there unannounced. So you're going to have to be able to adapt to the situations in multiple fronts. But by you having plans and training for things, it puts you in a position to be able to think your way through, because you've already prepared to put yourself in a position of thinking instead of a position of crying, hysteria, anger, untamed, just being wild and unproductive. Okay? So now the overall objective is to get home. You need to have diverse, effective, efficient routes to getting home, to picking up what you need to pick up, to acquiring the picking up the children, meeting with other family members in a rendezvous situation where you're to meet at a certain location, then go together to get to where you're going to go. All these things are extremely, extremely critical. And I think I made a mistake and I don't like when I do that. I think I messed up and knocked myself out of the chat room. Let me put myself back in. Let me log back into Black Talk Radio Network, because I can't see the board. Sorry about that, you all. So this is the formats that you want to start using with your family. getting home, rendezvous point. Now, in doing that, do you have the overall equipment to do it? Do you have the shoes to do it? Do you have the food and water to do it? What's in your, where is your overall time to go home? Some people call it the bug out, time to get home bag. What's in it? Where is it? And how much of it are you going to use in? What are you going to put in it? Also, what is in your along your route that you may be able to acquire if you can acquire it safely? The key thing to that is acquire things safely. When you're route to home, you cannot, you do not want, you want to minimize all confrontation. So keep your overall get home bag in your vehicle. At your place of employment, at your place of business. And keep that separately for you. No one else needs to know where it is, because believe me, things can go awry. You could tell people, oh, this is my bag, this is my bug out bag, this is what I'm going to do. Something happens while you're in the restroom, they see how big the event is, you come back, that bag is gone, and those people are gone too, that you thought were your so-called friends and everything else. Don't compromise. Tell people they should have their own, and but don't tell them where yours is. Okay? Have some provisions for you not to make it home in the allotted time that you thought that you wanted to make it. Check that distance from your home to where you are in time and what is to be expected that you can do it. But remember, when you're doing it in the sterile environment, you're not doing it in the true field of conflict. It's going to increase your overall time double. If it doesn't, man, fantastic. But you don't want to bet on it doing that. You want to say that it's probably going to. Have some supplies for that. Have some supplies for your children. Have a, make sure that you know your way to and from. If you've been in a certain place for a very long time, use that to your advantage. Know the shortcuts. And what a shortcut is not always the shortest distance between one point and another. It can actually be a shortcut, could actually be the furthest way around. It's going to take you the longest time to get there, but it's the path that's least traveled. A shortcut is minimizing your overall exposure to threat. That's what a shortcut is. It is not distance in this instance. Distance means nothing. It is the threats that mean everything. So a shortcut could actually be 2 and 3 miles longer, because you're shorting your overall experience in danger. Your time in danger zones and in kill zones and in hostile zones is being shortened. That's a shortcut. And most of us don't think of it that way. We think of shortcut right away means the shortest distance between one place and another, when actually the most safest distance is the hardest path, the longest route, but it's the shortest cut because it's your shortest time in peril. Next. Make sure that you have the overall ability to do what you're asking yourself to do. Make sure you have the overall physical ability to do what you're asking yourself to do. And if you don't, get your overall physical state in that position to be able to do it. Very important. I think we got a caller in queue. Let me see. Keith, did you want to chime in?
No. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. I must have unmuted myself accidentally.
Yeah. Mute yourself, and if you wanted to chime in, then definitely unmute yourself. Okay. That's really what. Make sure that you're able to do physically what you're going to ask yourself to do, and only be realistic about your whole situation. Do not try to push yourself and put yourself in a position that you know that you can't do. Does that mean that if you had to do it, you would not give it your all to try it, and you would do it until you will not compromise? Yes. But you don't want to put that burden on yourself as a realistic plan. That's a plan for failure. If you know you can't run a three-minute mile, then don't say that you're going to run a three-minute mile at that time. Take a 20-minute mile. Take a 15-minute mile. Take a 10-minute mile. Take a 5-minute mile. Be realistic about what you can do and what your overall family or team members can do. And this is one of probably the most important thing. If you're going to have someone with you, the overall weaker person is the overall plan and route. You plan a route and time for them. So you can only go as fast as your slowest runner. Because you can't leave anyone. So if your overall plan to get back home is picking up the children and you're on foot, depending on the ages of the children and the capabilities of the children, that's what the overall objective plan is going to be based off of. If you're picking up some teenagers or something else, the objective plan is going to be to slow down, slow down for you. If you're picking up, you know, smaller children, it's going to be to slow down for them. Very important to step realistic accomplishment. Critical. So listen, time always flies. We're going to get back to this. We're going to pick this back up tomorrow, right where we left off here, because it's so important. But I definitely want to say this is a must. So, but before we get out of here, if anybody wanted to chime in, Brother Davis, if you wanted to chime in, please do. Roz, if you wanted to chime in, please do. Keith, if you wanted to chime in, please do. We would do that now before we get out of here. But we'll pick this back up tomorrow for sure, because it's just that important for where we are just in today's moments in history. So, what was that, Brother David?
I just wanted to add, man, it doesn't have to be technical in the very beginning. You might want to start with something basic, like teaching us different ways to breathe, how to deep breathe, how to breathe in short spurts. These are things that will come in handy if you do have them. You know what I'm saying? And that way, as you develop them and they understand, they can move from aspect or aspect.
Hey, Brother Davis, we couldn't hear you. We could hear you, but the overall connection. Tomorrow, if you can call in tomorrow, what you said, because I couldn't hear much of anything, but I know it was important for what you were saying. But we'll catch it up. Maybe we'll have better reception tomorrow. We'll start with you on that, because we're going to pick this right back up right away. So appreciate you, Brother Davis. All right, everyone. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.